As a cultural virus, reality TV has spread fast and aggressively. The outbreak of the epidemic began 3 years ago this Saturday with the debut of Survivor. Commentator Bob Thompson is director of the Center for the Study of Popular Television at Syracuse University. He says reality TV is tawdry, brazen, and cheesy, but some of the most compelling viewing in 20 years.
In the spring of 2000, it was fashionable for thinking people to dismiss this emerging genre as yet another step down the road to mass cultural perdition. As the summer wore on, however, many of us were forced to grudgingly admit that Survivor and Big Brother were actually kind of interesting. Social experiments disguised as trashy, voyeuristic entertainments. At first, people took pains to say that they were just slumming when they watched this stuff, that it was just a guilty pleasure. Well, there's no need to feel guilty about this pleasure. Quite the opposite. Anyone interested in the history of Western dramaturgy and storytelling should pay close attention. What MTV introduced with The Real World in 1992 was arguably the most innovative new way to tell a story since the invention of the novel. The new idea was to merge the artifice of fiction with the serendipity of extemporaneous behavior. Perhaps it most resembles jazz, another indigenous American art form in which agreed-upon rules are just the jumping-off point for improvisation and the unplanned. But so far, of course, the exciting potential of this new form has been squandered on some pretty lame programming. The first run of Survivor came closest to being a masterpiece. The contrived elements were controlled so fluently that the unpredictable ones were allowed to flourish. Over the course of 13 weeks, Susan becomes Electra, transforming herself from a Wisconsin truck driver to a commanding presence of the stage. Her celebrated Snakes and Rats soliloquy delivered in the final episode was the stuff of Greek tragedy, or The Tempest, by way of Fargo. Had it taken place over 39 days on the off-Broadway stage, we'd have called Survivor an ingenious piece of experimental theater. But then came the mutant spawn, Temptation Island, The Bachelor, and the rest of the dating and dalliance dramas. I like these shows a lot. Sometimes I just feel like wallowing in the mire, especially when it's so rich and fragrant. It's also pretty harmless. There are lots of objections to the moral corruption of these programs, but anyone who actually watches them knows how really conservative they are. Temptation Island, a show that tested the fidelity of couples by introducing them to fabulous strangers determined to break them up, is ultimately about how bad flirting with temptation is. The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, Bachelorettes in Alaska, Joe Millionaire, and Married by America, as tarted up as they look in the promos, are surprisingly old-fashioned. These people aren't looking for a one-night stand. They're looking for matrimony. Let's face it, in the real world, the real, real world, dating can be stupid, and the lies, insecurities, infidelities, and embarrassments seem so much more familiar than the utopian vision of a Tom Hanks Meg Ryan movie, or the literate Dorothy Parker-esque world of Sex and the City. A bad reality TV show can carry more data about contemporary American life than a good sitcom. Someone will make a masterpiece of reality TV one of these days. In the meantime, for some of us, the tacky stuff beckons, like the lurid allure of Las Vegas. And occasionally, some insight emerges from all the nonsense.
The comments of Bob Thompson, director of the Center for the Study of Popular Television at Syracuse University.